This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Mufti Asad, lecturer, Department of Business Administration, International Open University. Here we are to have a joint session. Yes, here we are to have a session on business ethics from Islamic perspective. So we are waiting for a very huge number of students because many participants have requested and have registered themselves. So we will wait for them, and when some of them joins us, we will inshallah start the video. For the time being, Harmita Sharmian Begum has sent us assalamu alaikum Mufti and everyone. So wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and it's a pleasure that you are here on time. And let's wait for a few more, and then we will go through the business ethics and the concept of business ethics in Islamic perspective. Now, I would love to hear from you that what do you expect from this session, basically. So if you can just write in a single line, what do you expect at the end of this session? Because I will focus on that as well. Please. So we are still waiting, and because some of the participants are just joining and getting the messages, we are getting the messages that some of the participants are joining. So we will wait for them for a couple of minutes, and then we will start as per routine schedule, because we have our session at 5 p.m. And 5:30 p.m. Indian time, and 11:30 or 12 p.m. UST. So we have to take care for that as well. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Muhammad Iqbal, brother. Hoping you will be fine and you will enjoy the session of this business ethics. Yeah, very good question about from Abu Bakr Shibli, that assalamu alaikum, how Islamic ethics can bring success in corporate life. This is the basic theme of today's session, is that how we can go through all the business ethics, what Islam teaches us, and how we can be a successful entrepreneur, a successful businessman, a successful employee, and a successful employer. Today's session, the main theme of today's session is your question, and I'm sure inshallah you will enjoy the session. Just keep yourself with us till end, and at the end of the last slide, I am more than 100% sure that you will get your answer. Still, if there might be any confusion, inshallah there will not be, but still, if there is, the question and answer session we will take at the end of the last slide. So now I think we have enough audience, and we will start with that, the business ethics in Islamic perspective. So let me share my screen, that if there is screen sharing option, and while how to handle business in the Islamic way, like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. So today as well, also like we will have the answers from your question as well, that how our Prophet has taught us how to do the business, and then how we are doing it. So the basic question is that what we are doing, is it right or not? Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. So the theme of the pattern of today's topic is that we will have almost 20 to 25 slides, and for the first 20 or to 25 minutes I will speak just to tell you that what are the ethics and what business ethics means to us as a Muslim, and what business ethics means to the businessman, as an entrepreneur. And then I will read all the queries from you people. I will ask, the house will be open to all of you, that if you have any query, you can just share it to you, because currently or recently I have just went through two questions that were very much interesting and really appreciated the thinking of both of you. So there should be many questions in the minds of all of you, and I'm here to answer you, inshallah. Starting with the name of Allah, the topic is as business ethics and Islamic perspective. So I'm lecturer in the Department of Business Administration in International Open University. It's www.iou.edu.gm. The details of courses, everything can be studied at the website, which is already in the logo of this university. So when we talk of the business ethics, today's presentation I have divided into three basic parts. The pattern is, the first one is ethics. So I have defined ethics in the next couple of slides. Then we have combined the business word with the ethics, that what business ethics basically means. And then when we are clear about the business ethics, then what business ethics is relating to Islamic perspective, like what Islam says about business ethics. That's the main point of today's discussion. So starting with the business ethics, basically, that what ethics is. In the next slide, we have ethics defined as well. If you can just go through the next slide in the ethics, like what ethics is. Set of moral principles that distinguish what is right and what is wrong, or you can call it as the branch of knowledge that deals with the moral principle. Now, what moral principle? When we talk of the morality, Islam strictly prohibits some negative things and strictly says that this is right and this is wrong. In Quran, in Hadith, we will see the different quotes from the Holy Prophet as well in the next slides. He strongly emphasized on the ethics in every field of life, because as a human being, we have two ways of doing things. One is the right way and the other is, of course, the wrong way, or the negative. One is positive, one has green signal and the other has red signals. So Islam told us, Islam ordered us, the Holy Prophet ordered us to do the right things. And doing that right thing is basically what ethics is. That's why it's the set of moral principles. It's not a single principle. It's a set of moral principles. Of course, there are many principles of morality. So all those principles are now combined. And when anybody acts on those principles, that is called ethics, that he is following the ethics. That is the basic definitions of Islam, of ethics. Now, what ethics in Islam? Islam has so much emphasized on the ethics that it has used several names for this ethics. The first name used for ethics in Islam is khair, which is goodness, doing goodness to someone, doing good deeds, that is khair, or giving some pleasure to someone for the benefit of society, for the benefit of any individual, that is called ethics. The second word used is birr. Birr is an Arabic word which means righteousness, like when you are doing some right things or you are doing some good things to the society, you are doing birr. The third word which is used for ethics in Islam is qist. Qist means equity. We are doing it that everybody is getting his shares as per his capabilities, as per his needs. So this is called qist. The fourth word which is used for ethics in Islam is adl. Adl means equilibrium and justice. And we have so much division in our society, and that's because of the injustice in society. The basic things that is lacking in our society, in Muslim society especially, is the justice, because justice is not prevailing. The fifth word used is haq. And haq is also an Arabic word which means truth and right. And the last word is maruf. Maruf means known and approved. So in a nutshell, like in this slides, what I wanted to deliver and what I wanted to convey to all of you, that Islam strongly emphasizes on ethics. If someone says that I want to follow ethics, but in Islam, I do not find anything relating to ethics, he might have very shortage of knowledge as well and shortage of information, because Islam has strongly emphasized on ethics with different names, and those names have been described in these slides. Similarly, Islam places the highest emphasis on ethical values in all aspects of human life because of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has said that throughout the Holy Quran and numerous teachings of the Holy Prophet, and here are some quotes, because in the first hadith, he said that you are the best people evolved from mankind, enjoying what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believe in Allah. In Quran, fourth part, in Suratul Al-Imran, Allah Ta'ala has said that kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Like, you are the best of people evolved for mankind, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and believe in Allah. Similarly, the Holy Prophet has said, I have been sent for the purpose of perfecting good morals, like innama bu'istu li utammima makarim al akhlaq. I have been sent for the purpose of perfecting good morals. So if there were no importance of good morals or morality in Islam, there might be not even a single ayah, not even a single quote from the Holy Prophet. These are just the short importance of that short form. So once we decided and once we are agreed about the ethics, that what ethics is, then we are combining the second word of our today's presentation or today's title is business ethics. Now, what business ethics means to us and what business ethics is, that's why I have given just a single slide to add that business ethics are the same moral principles that guide the way how a business behave, how we are doing a business. Either we are an entrepreneur of a small scale or we are entrepreneur of a large scale. If we are a businessman in a startup, if we are a businessman of a well-established venture, we have to take care of the morality, we have to take care of the moral principle, and that moral principle determines an individual's action. Like if someone is a good person in individual capacity, in businessman, he should be a good businessman as well. She should have the capacity of what is doing what is right and forbidding from what is wrong, and just he has the capability to select what is right in the choices for the business and refrain from what is wrong in the businesses. What moral ethics are, what are the moral principles, it's already explained in details in the next slide, but the main point in this slide is that what business ethics means to us and how to combine those ethics into the business community. In a nutshell, if we have so much moral character, if we have so much morality, moral principles, all those moral principles, if applied to business in any way, either from the startup or at already established business, that would be called as business ethics. Now, we have just concluded the two different titles. Like, one was ethics, the second was business ethics. And the third one is now Islamic business ethics, which is the main theme of this presentation, that what business ethics means as Islamic perspective, what business ethics means to the Muslim. So here I have defined Islamic business ethics is that the practical elements of managing ethics within the organization that a business leader can use, offering the framework of an overall Islamic ethics of model for an organization to adopt. Of course, we believe that Islam is a complete code of life. We believe, and it's our aqidah as well. So if when we say that Islam is a complete code of life, that automatically means that we have all the solution of all the problems, of all the actions what we face in our life, right from the birth of a child till the death of human being, we should have the solution in that religion. And once we have the solution in that religion, then of course that is called as a complete code of life. That's the part of our iman and the part of our aqidah. Of course, if anybody want to start a business, Islam should have some principles of that. Islam should guide the human beings what to do and what not to do. That's basic concept of Islamic business ethics. And of course, Islam has already shown us so many principles that these are very good principles. These should be acquired. These principles are profitable both in this world and then hereafter as well. So when all these morality, moral characters are combined into business, what Islam teaches us, that is called as Islamic business ethics. Now, the Prophet, peace be upon him, presented in front of us how to be a successful Muslim trader. He had a remarkable reputation in dealing. And you all may know the story of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when for the first time she searched for a trader and searched for a businessman who is trustable and who is loyal to the business. So our Holy Prophet was selected, and that was the very successful Muslim trader that he earned a lot because of his truthfulness, because of his so many qualities. And even the enemies in the Makkah and in the whole Arab used to call him Sadiq and Amin. And you all know about the Sadiq and Amin. Similarly, the hardworking, that when you are assigned a task, Islam teaches us to work so hard in completion of that task, that there should be no, the result is not in our hand, but at least hard working is in our hand, and we should be sincere to that. That's why Islam teaches us to have a fair dealing on the business with the customer, and it's ordered that Allah shows mercy to a person who is kindly when he sells and when he buys and when he claims. So three different stages of trading and three different stages of business. The first one is when he sells. Like Allah shows mercy to a person who is kindly when he sells, when someone wants to sell anything and he is kind and he is sincere to that, when he buys and when he claims. These three different stages of already shown in the hadith, that Allah shows a mercy to a person, that Almighty shows a mercy, and that who shows kindness in these three steps. Now, the last part in our presentation, because you all are here to clarify your views, so I would love to hear from you people much more than what I teaches here. So what are the principles of business ethics in Islam? Because one of the brother and one of the sister has asked two questions in their time, and I'm waiting for more questions as well. But just to let you know about the different principles of business ethics, and basically there are 12 principles what I mentioned in these slides. There are so many principles, but 12 are just the summarized form of those principles that are much useful in business, and that can be termed as business ethics, what Islam says to it. I have summarized it in just one slide, and then we'll have a detailed discussion one by one in all the 12. And after these 12 slides, I will hear from you people. So the first principle is freedom of enterprise. Freedom of enterprise means that everybody is free. What he wants to start an entrepreneurship as an entrepreneurship activity, what he or she wants to start in a country, but with two conditions. Everybody is free to start and set up any business with two conditions. The first condition, if that is allowed as per Sharia, that is the first allowed. If anybody want to start any business, but Sharia says that no, it's not allowed, then of course, that would be not allowed as per the Sharia principles. So any activity, any entrepreneurship activity, any enterprise that violates the rule of Sharia, that's the top priority, that is not allowed in Islam. And the second is that any enterprise which is forbidden by the government of that country, like there are many things which are allowed as per Sharia, you can say it, but government has forbidden it, dealing in that, so that is also not allowed. So freedom of enterprise means that everybody is free to set up any venture, any enterprise, and any entrepreneurship activity which is allowed in Islam and which is allowed by the government. If the government is not allowing it, that is not allowed in Islam. If Islam doesn't allow it, that is not allowed in Islam. The second point is trade through mutual consent. Like if there are two people and one person want to sell something, then of course the second person should be willing to buy. Like that's not a compulsion that he should buy it, but coercion, and which is also called in Arabic ikrah. So la ikraha fi din. In Quran Allah says la ikraha fi din. So the same la ikraha fi business. Like when you're doing any transaction, there shouldn't be any coercion in that. Everybody is free, everyone has its consent, and if anyone wants to sell, he is free to sell it. If anybody wants to buy it, he is free to buy it. No compulsion on that. There shouldn't be any compulsion, any coercion that you should sell it on me and you should buy it from me. So the second principle of moral character is trade through mutual consent. The third basic principle, which is very lacking in this situation. And I'm very frank and very honest with all of you. This third quality of moral ethics is right now in the business sector that is very much lacking. But we are hoping that the revival of that Muslim society, the truthfulness in the business transaction, because Islam encourages truthfulness, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, said the truthful merchant is rewarded and ranked on the day of judgment with prophets, martyr, and pious people. Because if a businessman is true and has this quality of truthfulness, he will be rewarded as martyrs, with martyrs, with pious people and prophet. And that is actual the successes. The success in this world is just temporary. The success hereafter in that world is much more important to all of us. So truthfulness in business transaction. The fourth, which is also very much important, is the intensity to earn legitimate earning. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our Holy Prophet, has said that إِنَّ الْحَلَالُ بَيِّنْ إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Both, everything is defined for the human being, what is halal and what is haram. So you should earn everything on legitimate earning. Like there are so many things with my brother, but I can't sell it without the permission of him, because the Quran has said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil." That people, mu'minin, don't take your brother's assets without his permission through wrong deed, through wrong way, because to have some earnings. And this is called the legitimate earning and illegitimate earning. So Islam strictly says and strictly orders to have some legitimate earning on that, because leave what makes you doubt for things that do not make you doubt. The Holy Prophet has said us and clarified us that if you think that this is something like ambiguous and I'm doubting that, leave it. Leaving it is much more better and much more secure than doing it. So I have shared a couple of hadiths here and already told you the Quranic verses in the last slide. The fifth quality and the fifth moral character is trustworthiness in the business transaction. Whenever, as a businessman, when you are doing business, trustworthiness is much more important, because there are so many things you have to trust it on it. You should be trusted with some qualities, believe, because the Holy Prophet has said, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran that, O you believer, do not betray Allah and the Messenger, nor knowingly betray your trust. Because trust is the basic things of any business. And whenever you betray anyone, you will never be trusted again. That's the basic quality of businessman. And if anybody lacks this quality, he cannot grow. And he might start growing, but just on temporary basis, not on permanent basis. The sixth quality is the fair treatment with the workers. Like, not importantly, you are a worker. There are so many cases. You might be employer, you might be employee, you might be at any capacity in a company, you might be the owner of that company. Now, how to deal with that? Your own workers, just treat them as your family. They are you, the family members of you. They are working for your success. They are working for their earning, for their feeding of children. So the fair treatment to the working workers is much more important quality, which is also lacking behind. There are so many issues due to COVID-19, but anyhow, this quality is lacking behind currently in our society, especially in the Muslim society. The Holy Prophet has said that the wage of laborer must be paid to him before the sweat dries upon his body. That's very much important quote for all of us, for today's businessmen and for today's entrepreneur. The seventh is not to deal in the prohibited items. Like in, we have so many items that is prohibited in Islam. Like we have wines, different types of wines. So Islam prohibited us to deal in the wines, to deal in anything that is against the Sharia. That's why in the Quran, the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala has said that prohibited to you did meat, the blood, the flesh of wine, and that on which name of other than Allah has been mentioned. Similarly, the business of the pig, that is already prohibited for all of us. So we are not allowed to do such businesses. That means that not to deal in the prohibited item. There are so many items that are allowed. So if we are not doing any prohibited items, we can do those items that is allowed to us. That's why the seventh quality is not to deal in the prohibited items. The eighth one is sale of al-gharar, and al-gharar mean uncertainty, risk, and speculation. If there is some uncertainty in any transaction, Islam prohibited us not to do it and not to conduct and not to even involve in it, like anything that is on risk. Gharar can be defined as uncertainty, and in a simple example, if as an entrepreneur I am selling some birds, and those birds are not in my hands, like there are so many birds flying in the air, and I just sell it to Mr. ABC, that those birds that are flying in the air, I'm selling it to you, and he accepted. So anything that is not in my possession and that is uncertain whether those birds will be caught by me or not, that is not allowed. The sale of the transaction of those commodities which is not in my possession and which is uncertain, that is not allowed as per Islam. Similarly, ihtikar, hoarding of the foodstuff, that is strictly prohibited. There are so many people who are just deprived of basic needs, they're just dying of their hunger, but still we are hoarding our foodstuff. Islam strictly prohibited that, because the Holy Prophet has said in Abu Dawud, no one hoards but the traitors, the sinners. The sinners only hoard the food, otherwise no one hoard. That's the basic orders for us and the basic teachings for us. The 10th and the third last quality, which in my slide, is the swearing, the qasam. Swear means that if anybody want to sell something, anybody want to buy something, and he just starts swearing as per his habit, that he or she wants that his items might be sold much quickly when I swear on it, or I will buy it when I swear an idea about the price of it, about the quality of it. And that's very much common in our society as well, that whenever we want to sell something, whenever we want to buy something, so we just swear on it upon the quality of it and upon the price of it, although that is wrong. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that swearing may persuade the customer to purchase the goods, but the deal will be deprived of Allah's blessing, and Allah's blessing means barakah. So barakah will not be there, although your items will be sold, but the barakah in that price items and the price money that you will get, that will be deprived. The second last quality is giving short measures. These are basically happening in the small shopkeepers. When you are taking or you are purchasing something, you just take, when any businessman takes it with a full measure, but when you are just selling it, so you are selling it with short measures, and you are just weighing it for your own result, that's a very bad habit, and Islam has strictly prohibited us. That's why Allah Almighty has repeatedly commanded exactitude in weights and measures. One of the verses said that, and gave full measures when you measure, and weigh with a just balance. That's the best and the best in result. In Suratul Asra, 15th para, Allah has given us that to have full measures when you measure, and weigh with a just balance. That's the best and the best in result. Now, the last, which is somehow common in our society, is dealing in the stolen goods. What stolen goods mean? Like when I know as a businessman that these goods are stolen from someone, and when you steal something from anyone, the price of that automatically decreases, because a thief want to sell it as soon as possible with much lower price, as he has no idea of what's the actual price of this thing. So dealing in stolen goods, when you are 100% sure that these goods are stolen and some from some owners, so this is not in our capacity and not in our ownership, not considered in our ownership. So these are prohibited in dealings in that. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, met the person knowingly buying a stolen commodity to a partner is a crime. And he said, the one who knowingly purchased a stolen good is a partner to the act of sin and the shame. And Kanzul Omal, he has just, the hadith number is given, that anyone who is sure that what am I buying and what am I selling is a stolen thing, so he is considered as a partner to the act of sin and shame. May Allah forbid from all of these bad habits and show us the right path. So this was the last principle of morality and moral character. Now, I would like to hear from you about the different questions from you, because we have so many questions in that, and that's really appreciating. So I'm starting it from the very first question that Brother Muhammad Abu Bakr Shibli has asked. Let me share my video if there is audible. Yes. Okay. The first question is, Muhammad Abu Bakr Shibli, Assalamu alaikum, how Islamic ethics can bring success in corporate life? Brother Abu Bakr Shibli, the answer is that yes, there are more, there are 12 characters, I have just summarized it. And once any businessman or any entrepreneur act on those, of course, the success, we believe on the teachings of Allah, we believe on the promises of the Holy Prophet and the promises of Almighty Allah, success will be no more far from us when we follow these ethics. And of course, our society need honest businessmen. Our society needs such people who have moral character in that. That's why the corporate life would be a successful life for all the persons, all the businessmen who just follow these characters. Now, second question is from Sharmila Begum. How to handle business in Islamic way, like how our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us? That's already discussed in these 25 slides, and you can just note it down. You might have noted it down that how Islamic way, like our Prophet taught us, everything has been shared with us. The third question is halal. Salam from Farah Ahmed. How to resolve the present day ethical dilemmas? Now, that's a very important question. How to resolve the present day ethical dilemmas? There are so many issues in our society, and some ethical dilemmas are there in our society. But of course, there are so many solutions to that, we believe. I think the 12 characters, I have just discussed it with all of you, including myself. If I start working on it right from today, and you start it right from today, right from now, like from this time, just see that how we can change our society. If I am the only person, you are the second, all the fellows here, like 40 to 50 fellows we have, the 50 people start changing their life. So we are also a part of this society, and also so we can bring change in their society just by following the Islamic principles. Next question from Harun Rashid. Assalamu alaikum. How much the concept of ethics is clearly defined and known as compared to ethics defined in Western education? Okay. In Western education, ethics simply says that when, that's a very good question, basically. I appreciate your thought, your thinking and your question. In Western education, when we call ethics, the ethics simply means that doesn't harm the society. So if you are not harming any society, if you are good to the society, you will be called like ethical person. But regardless of that, the Sharia, regardless of Islam, regardless of the religion, what teaches us. If, like I'm giving you an example, if you are just selling wine to a society, to the members of the society, and the society, the Western society also needs wines, wine bottles. So in Western education, you will be called as an ethical person, an ethical businessman, because you are not doing harm to any person. But in Islam, you should be, you are not considered as ethical businessman, as ethical entrepreneur, because you are selling someone, you are just promoting anything that is not allowed as per Sharia. So hoping you have got the basic answer to that. Mr. Harun Rashid has asked a second question. Salam, how can we truly implement the real concept of ethics defined by Islam in a modern justice system? So starting from our own self, that's the basic concept, and that's the basic idea of how to change our society. If I am changed, so that automatically means one person in my society has changed. If you are changed from right now onward, the second person is changed, and then the third one, and then the fourth. So we can bring the change from our inside and then to the society. That's the basic key. Yusuf Chaudhry has asked, I want to know about halal trading in stock market. That is out of the context of that, but Mr. Yusuf Chaudhry, there is KMI 30 index, and in which the Sharia compliant companies are listed, and you can invest in that. Otherwise, there are so many options in stock market as well. We can have separate session on that. Mr. Harun Rashid has asked the third question: is the consent is the consent bound in every circumstance, and is there any exception Yes, consent is bound in every circumstance except the minor. When you are dealing with a minor person, so the consent of minor is not compulsion. The consent of his guardian is compulsion. Like consent, you have to take the consent from the guardian, because minor is not so much understandable and doesn't know about the business ethics. The fourth question by Harun is the absence of barakah due to lack of trust? No, not only due to lack of trust. It's the swearness, the qasam, because when you are just betraying inside the business, the Holy Prophet has said that your thing will be sold. You will buy it much quickly, but there will be no barakah in that. So there are not only a lack of trust, but so many things. All the moral principles, if any one of the 12 moral principles are there, there will be no barakah in that. The next question from Harun is, what's the difference between fair and equal? Fair is that anyone receive his share as per his capability. And equal mean that everyone receive equal shares. Like there are division of there are $100, and in $100 every person received $20, $20. That is equal distribution. And fair distribution would be that if a manager is just managing the whole system and the whole team, he should be awarded as $50, and the rest of the employees should be awarded according to their work and their importance, so their credibility. That's the basic difference in that. Next question is, what's the difference between Sharmila Begum, what about online businesses that are trending right now? Sellers and buyers do not face each other, so the mutual consent is still vague, and this situation considered a good transaction in Islam? Very good question. Yes, if there are online team, online seller and online buyer, the acceptance either verbal, either through email, that would be considered as the consent of both the seller and the buyer. So mutual consent doesn't mean that face to face and they should know each other and they should face each other physically. Just passing through social media, through YouTube, through Facebook, that's enough for them. Next question is act of God included in it, sir? In what? Act of God in what? So that's a bit confused. So if you are clear about that, you can just clear the call. Like if businesses are online, there also can be shared consent. Yes, that can be shared. I already discussed. Does the swear means I sell this for Allah's sake? And the buyer replied, I bought from you for Allah's sake. No, that doesn't mean. Swear mean that I am selling and I swear to Allah that I bought it on $20, and actually it wasn't bought on $20, it was bought on $15. That's swearing. The next is, you mentioned that if a certain business is not acceptable in country and allowed in Islam, we cannot do the business. Please explain it again. Okay, Islam also teaches us to follow the government instructions of any country. So that's why we have to follow the government instructions as well. As per Sharia, many things are allowed. Like if, in case of the cloth business is allowed in Islam, if anybody wants to sell or start the business of cloths. But if you want to smuggle that cloths through illegal way from one country to another, then that is not allowed as per government rule. You cannot do smuggling on border without the permission of the government. Just bring it through legal way and then start business. That is allowed. Both through government sector and both in the Sharia way. That's what I mean to say that. Okay, Farah Ahmed Hessa said, they asked that, is there any ethical and decision-making model which Muslims can implement to resolve the dilemmas? Yes, there is a model. And the model is that so many traders in the Sahaba Ikram at the era of Khulafai Rashidin, we can just follow any one of that model. We have the same model right from the 1400 years before, and we should follow that to have the positive image of Islam and to have the good society as per Islam teaches us. Okay, the next question is, can we have business partners who are non-Muslims? Yes, we can have, because that's already done in the earlier era of Islam, because Islam was not so prevalent. So many partners we have in our, the Sahaba Karam had in their business in the start, and then when the Muslims community prevailed and the Muslims got in huge numbers, then the partnership just was voided, but now it's allowed. If you have any partner in Islam as a non-Muslim, that is allowed. The business is totally allowed unless and until the commodity is allowed as per Sharia. Next question is, what about buying goods from non-Muslims? Yes, what, we live in multiracial countries and there is no option for that. That's totally right. If the commodity and if the good is allowed as per Islam, if you are buying anything like wine from the non-Muslim, so that is not allowed. But if you are buying cloth, you are buying food from the non-Muslim, the food that is allowed as per Sharia, then that's totally fine. Okay. Yusuf Chaudhry has asked, is investing in insurance company halal? No, that is not. Okay. The Nasira Nekhat has asked, is it permissible to sell cloths or things on which pictures are made? Pictures are made, if the full body pictures are made, like a human being that clearly indicates it's he or she or it's a human being, then Islam prohibited that. But if just a cartoon type is there, then that is allowed. The next question is, Sayyid Munawaruddin, is there any Muslim organization who can invest us to start a business? No. For the current time, there is no such Muslim organization, but investing, you can start investing from your own pocket. Like, it's not necessarily you should have $100,000. You can start from $100. You can start from $150. The minor business you can start. And then you can see the barakah by following these, all the 12 principles that is already shared with you and that is already taught to all of you. So just go through that and we are done with the question and answers. So if you have any question or anyone, we have just 10 minutes left in the session. I will be waiting for the next question. If there is, otherwise, if there is no question, we will leave the session and we will end. But as there is no question, so these 12 principles are explained here. And okay, Jazakallah, but I need one. So Asra Fatma, what do you need? One, can we have business partners as non-Muslim? Yes, I need one. You can have non-Muslim as a partner. There's this platform is from Islamic International Open University. Then there are just few days left in the admissions in the business administration department. And we can have, as I'm teaching the business ethics subject, so we can have very fruitful discussion in that once you get admission in that. And I am strongly recommending it, not because university is paying me, but the subject is very much interesting and there are so many subjects in that. Yusuf Chaudhry has requested for a video about halal trading in stocks. I will share it with you. And because I have done a session on stock market investment just a couple of weeks before, so I will share it with you after this session, inshallah. Salman Hassan has said that I have two shirts which have tiger on shirt. What can I do with that? You can just paste something on the face portion of the tigers and the rest will be fine of that. Like, you can even omit the face. The rest of the body is fine, but the face is not allowed to be printed in it. What about skulls on the shirt? Can we use it? Skulls are something like different ulama and different scholars have different opinions. I think it's not preferred to use such thing. If you have some good pictures, if you have some good things on t-shirts, on your cloths, why not to use that instead of using skulls? Actually, it defines the personality as well, to be very sorry with that. What about agriculture that uses chemical product as fertilizer and after harvesting they sell it? Is this the right way according to Islam? Yes, if the product is halal, then that is totally fine. If that is fruitful to the society, that is not harmful to the society, not harmful to the human being, then that would be called as ethically correct as well. So that is allowed. And the doctrine of necessity is truly misunderstood in Islam. How it can deal with? I think self-study. We have left our study of Islam. We have just given everything, every authority to a group of people who are just responsible for understanding Islam, for preaching Islam. Why are we not doing it ourselves? So that's the main reason, Mr. Haroon. Farah Ahmed has asked, I'm asking about a flow chart or a step-by-step model for decision-making. Yes, there are different models. There are different research papers on that. You can search it on Google, but all the details can be taught to you, all of you, can be discussed with all of you in this course, which is called Business Ethics. And Business Ethics is a full-fledged semester course that is taught in the International Open University in BBA, Department of Business Administration. And there are so many confusions in everyone's mind. And inshallah, after studying this course, you will be able to clarify all your queries, and you will be able to start a business, inshallah, according to the morality, if you have business guts and business skills, according to the moral principles of Islam. And so there are a few days left. And okay, I just want to find a solution for them. I understand that I cannot use them. Don't want to give them to the Muslims as well. You are free to do that, whatever you want to do. But my point is that just few days left in the admissions, and we are about to close the admissions, and we are about to end our session as well. So everybody is invited to just take this course, and you will, inshallah, find it very interesting, very fruitful. You can share your questions with me then live. We will have a live sessions as well in the course. The last question I will take is the imaginary t-shirts. I will change their images as you have suggested, inshallah. That's very good. Thank you so much. So it was nice talking to you, and it's a pleasure. I will share my experience with you in the whole semester, inshallah. And may Allah bless you. Let's go through the last slide, and then I will inshallah finish and leave the session. I pray for all of you, and hope to have a good future ahead, inshallah, established. And Jazakumullahu khairah. Nice to be with all of you. Jazakumullahu.